Greetings, dear listeners, and an intergalactic welcome to a brand new episode of TrekSwap. Your host, as always, is Lasse Vogt, and on this extremely emotional journey full of weird aliens, tremendous action, and fun characters, I have brought a companion who doesn't fear any daring adventure. Wonderful to have you back, Natalie.
I'm back, bitches.
Yes, you are indeed, and I'm very, very happy about that. This episode is gonna be especially interesting, and once again, it's because of your choice. You presented me two possible scores you wanted to talk about, and both of them were not only from Marvel movies, but Marvel sequels. But you leaned stronger towards one of them, so please tell us what it is, name the people behind it, and why you chose it. And you should maybe give a spoiler alert for people who haven't seen the movie yet.
The track that I'm bringing this time is from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, named It Really Is Good to Have Friends, which was composed by John Murphy with the help of producer Tyler Barton, conductors Gavin Greenway, Gottfried Rabel, and James Shearman, orchestrated by Stephen Coleman, Michael James Lloyd, Andrew Kinney, Jeff Lawson, Edward Trebek, Jonathan Beard, Henry Wilkinson, Paul Edward Francis, and David Dutch. Additional music was provided by Kevin Kleiner.
Quite a lot of people behind this music. Yes. And I'm very curious, why did you choose this track in specific?
It just stuck out to me.
Within the film?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Secret that John Murphy took over scoring duties from Tyler Bates for a third installment of the Guardians franchise, and I have to admit that I initially wasn't happy about that. I thought Bates did a wonderful job on the first two films, and he was also slated to score the Suicide Squad for James Gunn, but dropped out during production for reasons not entirely clear, actually. Like, some say scheduling conflict, some say it was because of difficulties due to COVID, but whatever it was, John Murphy got the gig on that film, and Gunn kept him for his third Guardians movie. And I honestly didn't notice much of a score in the film, but I was also preoccupied worrying too much about the characters, which were so near and dear to my heart. And I certainly noticed that there was a lot of choir, and that occasionally the original Guardians main theme by Bates popped up. And I can't say that I'm the biggest fan of Murphy. He relies too much on electric guitar in his scores, so much so that it stops being special after a while. But I'm glad you picked one of his tracks for a track swap, so I had a chance to take a closer look. And did you have any previous exposure to Murphy's output?
Not really.
Ah, okay. I mean, he did 28 Days Later for Danny Boyle. He did parts of a score of Kick-Ass. There were like four or five composers on that score. And he basically copied a theme from 28 Days Later and put it into Kick-Ass again. He's done a lot of stuff. And I have to say, I'm quite surprised you chose this track, because the scene it accompanies is so incredibly brutal and sad. Possibly the most brutal scene in the movie, visually. As well as emotionally, James Gunn really stretched the boundaries of a PG-13 rating with his film. And I think that's a good thing, honestly.
Yeah.
And the choir is really well used here. It gives the scene even more of a punch, and the first half is just so overwhelmingly sad before it changes to the big dramatic moment with choir and orchestra. It really leaves an impact, and that's what you need here. Combined with the raw performances, this scene will not be forgotten by anyone who has watched it.
How can you forget that? It's probably some of the darkest shit Marvel's put out so far.
Yeah, for good reason. It really feels earned, it feels deserved. The violence that takes place after the fact, like against the bad guys and all of that feels really cathartic.
Yes.
In a way, this one feels incredibly disturbing, and you've grown attached to these weird misfit characters. And Gunn clearly loves, you know, his freaks and outcasts. It really tugs on your heartstrings when they interact with each other. And when this music comes in, it has the right dramatic weight. It really is a punch to it.
The whole thing makes you feel like your heart's being torn out of your chest and stomped on.
Yeah, especially when you know the context of the scene. But even without it, you can tell there's something serious going on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for bringing this on and giving me a chance to, like I said, take a closer look at one of Murphy's outputs. For my pick, I chose a pretty close counterpart, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, composed by Tyler Bates and brought to life by a team of outstanding talent. The music was programmed and arranged by Timothy Williams, Dieter Hartmann, and Kurt Oldman. The conducting duties went to Gavin Greenaway, who I have seen conducting several times already live. The orchestrations were handled by Timothy Williams, Eric Aho, Brian Arata, Chad Cannon, Sasha Chaban, Kieran Keeley, Drew Krasovsky, Vincent Oppido, and Stephen Scott. And the score was recorded at the amazing Abbey Road Studios. As the choir, we hear the marvelous Metro voices. Marvelous. That's the key word here, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, this is a Marvel Cinematic Universe episode, and I'm happy that we get to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy films, because they are my favorite bunch from the MCU. How about you?
Yes. It's like the first three two movies, I'm like, oh, I like these characters.
Yeah, I was so excited for the second movie. So excited, in fact, I listened to part of a track I'd like to talk about in advance. Tyler Bates posted a video from the orchestra recording sessions, and they played this very track I chose, titled Dead. I picked it because it accompanies a similarly emotional moment, although this one has much more pathos, so to speak. Spoiler alert again, we hear it in the scene where Star-Lord Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, loses the actual father figure in his life. Yondu, played by the awesome Michael Rooker, they are flying away from the exploding planet, which is Peter's biological father, Ego, played by Kurt Russell, but he is evil. It turns out that they only have one spacesuit for two, so Yondu sacrifices himself and dies within the void of space and in Quill's arms. The line he says earlier is absolute perfection. He may have been your father, boy, but he wasn't your daddy. The music is tragic from the very beginning. Orchestra and choir slowly but surely are building up to possibly the most beautiful moment Tyler Bates has composed so far. The music cries together with Peter, but it also celebrates Yondu's nobility and sacrifice. It is an extremely emotional moment and shows the power and talent of James Gunn, the way he can manage to feature funny scenes, big drama, and also genuine emotion in his films and make them work together so effortlessly. Everything in the scene, the visuals, the performances, the direction, and of course the music, is on top form, and every single person who brought the scene to life clearly should be proud.
I didn't expect to be so emotionally invested in it.
Yeah, especially with Yondu, who is like quite the cunning character in the first movie. And then you see he has more depth in the second one, in his very first scene, actually. And he has a really great arc over the course of the first two movies. And yeah, it was really something seeing this stuff. And you know, especially like someone like Michael Rooker was like this expert B-film actor, and he's like in this big blockbuster thing, and he's responsible for one of the most emotional moments in the whole franchise.
Yeah.
That's the power of James Gunn.
And yeah.
His great
James Gunn, ability to rip your heart out after making you laugh and cheer for these characters.
Yes, I couldn't say it better myself. Wow, that was quite a lot of praise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Natalie, I'm really thankful for your pick because it gave us the opportunity to talk about some MCU scores which get still scoffed at by certain elitist members of the soundtrack community, which is a shame. There's so much great music from those films and shows to enjoy. Now you know two examples, and it won't be the last time the MCU comes up on Track Swap. Speaking of Track Swap, it's time to end this episode now. You can listen to this show on SideshowSoundTheatre.com as well as a German version, Squashnack, on my own podcast, Fans About Films. I also co-host It's a 90s Christmas podcast with Lyle Perez. I am on the Telestammtisch and do funny videos on YouTube under the username TheDeppert. Also, dear listeners, you can be a part of this show as well. Just send me a score suggestion on Facebook or Twitter at Lasse Vogt. But be aware of the one rule. What is the rule, Natalie?
No Star Wars.
Yes, I actually forgot to say this on our last episode. I was so preoccupied by the sauciness of our choices.
Oh, I remembered.
Natalie, I thank you once again for your company. I had a great time talking to you, as always. And to you, Dear listeners, we say thanks for tuning in and see you on the other side of a galaxy. Or simply on the next episode. In the meantime, turn on your Walkman or Zune and enjoy your favorite tracks. Godspeed, my friends. Godspeed.
Bye, bitches.
Sideshow Sound Radio Podcast. Why not share it with your friends? Share and enjoy.
I'm amazing.